come on in. We are ready to get started with Monday Manna Bible Study from Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Yes, we are. So come on in and get ready. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes tonight.
I'm trying to pull this up on there. It's not popping up.
Here we are.
All right. Well, I trust that each of you are having a great day today and that you are enjoying this cooler climate, this cooler weather. But we praise God for this is indeed the day that He's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Lady Kim, how you feeling today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. All right. Did you have a great day today?
It was very busy, but it was a good day.
All right. I'm trying to see if I can pull this streaming side up while we get ready, and I don't see anything popping up right now. But let's see.
I tried to do it. There it is.
Must have. Well, you go ahead, and both of us don't need to be
okay. Yeah. Well, I hope everybody had a grand day today and all things went well. And thank you for joining us for Bible study on tonight. We will be in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 8 and 9. Now, see if we can clear those two chapters. So we just thank God for you being with us on tonight. As we begin, we're going to get ready to go to God in prayer as we start on tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to study your word on tonight, God. We thank you, oh God, that you have given us your word as a direction in life. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon as we study the book of Ecclesiastes. We thank you for you blessing us with the opportunity to come before you tonight. We pray that all those who join in the Bible study tonight will glean some information that will make their lives better as a result. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and praise God. All right, well, we're certainly grateful for this opportunity to gather again as we study the Word of God. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes, as Lady Kim already indicated. We're going to be in the 8th and the 9th chapters tonight. They're relatively small chapters, Lady Kim. One has about 17 verses, and I believe the other has 18. And so you think we'll be able to tackle that tonight?
I think so.
Okay. But we certainly miss you on last week, and you, as you were getting ready for your next round in your doctoral program, and we did the best we could without you. Everybody already knows this is your program.
Oh,
and this is your show.
I heard you did an outstanding job.
Did
everybody,
you?
Yes, people were saying you did a great job.
Okay, who told you that?
Sister Darlene, and I'm trying to think who else did that. They say you did good without me.
All right. Well, it's different, but I praise God that you're with us tonight. Mm-hmm. But let's go ahead and get started, because what we want to do is just try to recap, as we always do, the service on yesterday. And then we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, this chapter 8 and 9 tonight. And then just kind of see where God is leading us as a result of what He has in store for us. Through this very powerful time in terms of studying about these books of wisdom. And this has been a powerful study thus far, and we're moving right through. And so we're in the 8th and 9th chapters of Ecclesiastes tonight, and hope that you've had an opportunity to read ahead as we prepare for our time together tonight. You want to go ahead and just give us some highlights, Lady Kim, from yesterday's sermon, and share whatever you received from that particular word on yesterday?
Well, you continue with the same scripture that you preached from on last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Genesis, the 21st chapter, verses 14 through 19. But you changed the title of it. You've been talking about insecurities, but the title of your sermon was Before I Let You Go.
Mm-hmm.
Before I Let You Go. And I know that title resonated with a lot of people. You know, I could hear Frank, Beverly, and Maze in my head when you said, "Before I let you go."
Don't do it. Don't do it, Reverend. Don't do it.
So before I let you go, that's right. And you talked about in Genesis when Hagar went out into the desert where she was cast out from her family or from her home, from Abraham and Sarah. And she went into the desert, she and her son. And so you had 3 points. The first point you got to last week, and then the other 2 points you covered on yesterday. And so the first point, well, let me first of all kind of, you know, summarize the text that it talked about when Abraham gave Hagar some food and a skin of water, mm-hmm. and told her to go away with her child.
Okay.
You know, he cast them out of his house. And she went away and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. And so when the water was gone, she told the boy to sit under a bush. And then she went, because she said she couldn't watch her son die. So she told him to go and sit under this bush, and I'm going to go over yonder way, mm-hmm. you know. And she cried to the Lord, but the boy also cried. And the Bible says that God heard the boy crying.
That's right.
And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said, you know, what's the matter, Hagar? And he told her, don't be afraid, that God has heard the boy crying, mm-hmm. heard the boy crying as he lies there. And so he told her, you know, lift him up, take him by the hand, and he's going to make him a great nation. And he said that, she said, the Bible says that when she opened her eyes, she saw that there was a well of water. So she went and filled her skin with the water and gave it to her boy to drink. So, the provision, I believe you were preaching about, you know, God had to remind Hagar that Ishmael was going to be a great nation.
That's right.
You know, from him was going to come a great nation. And so he was going to provide for their descendants in a special way. But he also provided by providing water for them, mm-hmm. When they were in the wilderness. And so that lets us know that God has made provisions for us in the future, and God has also made provisions for us in the present.
Okay, that's good. I like that. Because Hagar was really, they were thrown off track because of their insecurities, and they had a difficult time and really trying to understand the promise that had already been established. And as a result, just like with Sarah and Abraham, they wanted to rush the process, or they wanted to, you know, put wheels on the process and, mm-hmm. and try to speed up the promise. Mm-hmm. But
trying to help God out.
Trying to help God out. And so we need to learn how to wait on God and be patient for God to do what he said he'd do. And even the first time when Hagar left and the angel had to remind her to go back and submit to Sarah after there was a lot of kind of, you know, going back and forth. When Sarah saw her pregnant walking around the house, she got a little aggressive with her, no doubt. And I'm just paraphrasing the whole process, but we don't know what happened behind the scenes. But she left, and then the angel reminded her that she needed to go back. And so the same thing happened again. And so part of the title, Before I Let You Go, God wanted to just remind her about what the promise was all about. And it's interesting how we can forget what God has said he would do for us, mm-hmm. when we fall on hard times, mm-hmm. or when we have difficulty in our lives. Many times we start thinking about how we're going to get through our present situation, and we fail to realize that God has already taken care of that, and he's off in the future handling business for us. When, by the time we get there, he's already there and gone.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So God just wanted to remind Hagar, and he said, before I let you go, I just want you to know that I'm going to take care of your son. I'm going to handle it. It's going to be all right. But she had to be obedient, first of all, before she saw the well of water. And she had to do what the angel required of her to do by going over and lifting her boy and taking him by the hand. It says, then God opened her eyes. And I think many times, even when we are looking for what God is going to do for us, it's right there in front of us oftentimes, but we are, the enemy has a way of shielding the promises of God when we're preoccupied with what we are going through and not focusing in on who can see us through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
distracted. We're more focused on our problem than on the promise.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And so when we are distracted from the promise, you know, that allows the enemy to come in and wreak havoc
and confuse
you know,
us.
Yes,
that's right.
It's all in. It begins in our minds.
That's
and
right.
So when we our minds are on our problem and not on God's promises, then we get confused and thrown off track, like
that's
you
right.
said. So
that's
we
right.
have to repeat God's promises back to Him. God, you said.
Right. Right.
You said
right.
in your word, you know, and remind Him of His promises.
Absolutely. That's good. And so that's basically what it was, because the whole preparation and the acceptance was with Hagar being obedient. And obedience does, in terms, bring the reward. And we've said that many times before, and how when we are faithful in what God requires of us, it unlocks the blessings that He yet has in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just another title I put on that, because originally it was how God will take our insecurities and turn them into blessings. And so those things that we are pondering and contemplating and worrying about, God has already worked it out.
Already worked it
out. And we have to trust mm-hmm. the process, even when we don't have the possession. We got mm-hmm. to stand on the promise, even when God has not clearly given us direction. Because if He said He would do a thing, then it shall come to pass.
Amen. Amen. That was good.
All right. Anything Amen. Else you want to share on that?
No, I think we kind of covered it.
Okay.
You know, that,
okay.
Like you said, that acceptance piece.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to accept what God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a way to put it. Sometimes when we get in situations, sometimes a lot of situations we put ourselves in.
Okay.
Just like Sarah put herself in that situation.
That's right.
When she allowed or gave her handmaiden Hagar to her husband Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got upset with it.
Right.
Well, you have to accept the fact that, you know, that was your doing.
That's right.
You know. And Hagar was just being obedient to her mistress,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't see her, you know, objecting to the opportunity either. So,
ooh, Hagar,
right?
And Abraham,
didn't object.
Feet.
No, you know he was,
never said a mumbling
he
word.
He wasn't gonna say a thing. Okay, he was not gonna say a thing. He was all for that. But anyway. You know, sometimes your acceptance, the acceptance of the part you played, you know, helps you to realize or to deal with how to come out on the other side. So, you know, first you have to accept your part and then accept what God is telling you to do.
Right.
You
right.
know, in order to rectify the situation.
That's that obedience, right?
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Obedience will bring the reward.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to jump right in. We're in the 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to try to cover 8 and 9. But, you know, even as we're moving, Lady Kim, through this time together tonight, you know, there are several themes around the whole book of Ecclesiastes that help us to understand a lot of different areas. Even though wisdom is the overarching theme, it also prepares us for our behaviors and how we should respond to certain situations. And then it also gives us a sense of personal mission and direction, because here we see that Solomon is still doing a lot of reflecting, and he's trying to make sense of the things that he's done early on in life. And now he's looking back over his life and trying to make sense of it all. But this book just answers a lot of questions for us, and I believe it's one of those books that give us some powerful principles in terms of how we are going to move and navigate through various issues, and how important it is for us to really use wisdom and seek wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the last thing on our agenda, is to ask God for wisdom. We're asking him for things. We're asking him for this. We're asking him for that. But many times the answer lies in us asking God to give us wisdom and clarity in how we're going to deal with our current situations.
Amen.
And so even as we prepare for tonight, chapter 8, Lady Kim, is really kind of an interesting chapter, because Solomon, again, as we said, he continues to investigate the value of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then he comes face to face with some of the evil problems that he sees in the world. And one of the titles could be, What About the Wicked? As he goes this. And so he begins to deal with authority, and God begins to make some things clear here, even as he talks about disobedience, and we'll see all of that coming out, and then the defiance, and then the discernment has to take place. And then we see that he kind of answers some of the questions as it relates to the mysteries that he's faced with here in this 8th chapter, and there are only about 16 verses. And so if you want to just go ahead and start reading those, then we can come back and talk about any of those verses or lift up any questions or comments that people might have.
All right, where would you like me to stop or just read all the way through?
Well, let's see. You can go ahead and take off running. Go for it.
Oh, I
not
had to
literally,
comment.
No. Start at verse number one and just read through. It's only, what, 16 verses?
16, yes.
Yeah. We read the first 8 and see if there are anything that we need to lift out of there, and then you can read the last 8 when you finish those.
Okay. I'm reading from the NIV version. We're in Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter.
Okay.
Who is like the wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do whatever he pleases.
Mm-hmm.
Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, "What are you doing?" Whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. And the wise heart will know the proper time and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure.
Okay.
For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Since no one knows the future, who can tell someone what else is? Who can tell someone else what is to come?
Mm-hmm.
As no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has power over the time of their death. As no one is discharged in a time of war, so the wickedness will not release those who practice it.
Okay. So I think those first 8 verses really kind of bring clarity to where we see Solomon is dealing with this whole issue of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it laps over to us as well, because it's key that we need to obey those who are over us. And he makes reference to the king who had the ultimate authority. But he's going to narrow the focus and really place God where he needs to be as he closes out this chapter, because ultimately, God is in charge.
Yes, he is.
And then he has placed people to be subjects or under shepherds, mm-hmm. or however we want to phrase that, where they are leading, and then they are responsible to God. And then the people who are following, they have a responsibility to obey those who are in leadership.
Amen.
And so it's kind of a mixture of the both. And so Solomon is just kind of wrestling with that in these first eight verses.
Yes. But and I think it goes back to the structure, the overarching structure in which God has set in place.
Mm-hmm.
First there's God, then there's man,
right,
who subjects himself to God, mm-hmm, and then the underlings that subject themselves to God's leader.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that whole process is applicable not only in this situation, but throughout life. And we've been talking, preaching, and teaching about relationships. And we kind of had a similar discussion in our men's Bible study, our Sunday school class, about how God wants these things to be done decent and in order, and how the order has already been set. And when the order is in place, then you're going to have some issues, but you won't be perplexed by how you're going to resolve or come to some kind of conclusion. But many times you'll find in the house people are anxious and in a hurry to get married, and they have not set proper protocol or principles, or they're not following any godly structure.
Right.
And so it becomes an unequally yoked situation, and you have people just going for it and doing whatever they think is right in their own eyes rather than getting the direction from God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what we're seeing happen here, even in this eighth chapter. But, Lady Kim, even as I was looking at this, as it relates to leaders, and we can talk about this after you finish reading those last eight verses, because Solomon really reminds us about a relationship to leaders above us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we have been talking about in our Leadership Institute is how we have to make sure that we understand proper protocol and process, and how that really eliminates a lot of the confusion and frustration that even in corporate life, just like in your own individual life, you have to follow some kind of process in order to make sure you're accomplishing what God would have you to accomplish, you know, because it's different from a person who's not following God's mandate versus those of us who have submitted ourselves to God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So I'll lift up these other attributes after we finish reading the next eight verses, unless there's something else you want to add to that.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right.
So we have verse number 9 in the eighth chapter of Ecclesiastes. All this I saw as I applied my mind to everything done under the sun. There's a time when a man lords it over others to his own hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then too I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is meaningless. When the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Although a wicked person who commits 100 crimes may live a long time, I know that it will go better with those who fear God, who are reverent before him. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen, like a shadow. There is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. So I commend the enjoyment of life, because there is nothing better for a person under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany them in their toil all the days of their life God has given them under the sun. When I applied my mind to know wisdom and to observe the labor that is done on earth, people getting no sleep day or night, then I saw all that God had done. No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all their efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a clear distinction there between the evil and the just person, mm-hmm. and how important it is for us to understand that. I think he's making sure that we all know from this particular portion of the scripture that death is going to come to us all.
Yes, it is.
And so we have to make sure that we are in proper relationship and in proper standing with God when it's our time, when God calls us from labor to reward. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's really kind of digging in on that. But one of the things that I wanted to kind of lift up as Solomon talks about these relationships and how important it is for us to submit, he says, here's some of the things that he's lifted up in these first nine verses, that the role of the follower and the role of the leader. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at my commentary in my Bible. He's first of all talking about submit to God, give an authority, and then that's the role for the follower. And the role for the leader is to exercise authority with wisdom and caution. Mm-hmm. And so that's what he was kind of trying to get us to see there. Mm-hmm. Then the role for the follower is to trust God to accomplish his purpose. And the role for the leader is to recognize no human controls all of life. Mm. And the third point here is don't quit or become divisive. Mm-hmm. And the role for the leader is to lead others by serving and not bossing them.
Ah.
And so he's making it clear, as Solomon was wrestling with trying to understand that whole relationship with authority, mm-hmm. that the leader has a responsibility, mm-hmm. just as the follower has a responsibility. Amen. And mm-hmm. when those roles are in sync, then it eliminates a lot of the
frustration
that might come up.
Right. That's right.
Right.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess if we would kind of put a bow around this eighth chapter, we could probably summarize it with some very powerful things that Solomon is teaching us here.
Mm-hmm. One of the things is that wisdom comes from knowing and trusting God, not merely the way to find him. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of times we say we know God,
right?
You know, but we don't really trust his word.
We don't trust
him. Don't really spend any time with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have to know God. Know God means an intimate relationship.
That's
with
right.
Him.
That's right.
Talking to him, you know, praying, meditating, mm-hmm. studying his word. Knowing God will lead to understanding and then to sharing knowledge with others. So we can't teach what we don't know.
All right,
we can't
brother.
Lead where we won't go.
That's it.
So we have to know God so we can help others come to know God.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing God will lead to understanding and then to sharing knowledge with others. I said that even if a man could have all of the world's wisdom, he would still know very little.
Mm-hmm.
No one can fully comprehend God. You know, my daddy used to say, you know, what you don't know will make a whole other world. You know, he said, don't try to be a know-it-all.
Right,
what you don't know will mm-hmm. make a whole other world.
Right, right.
So, you know, I used to think that was kind of corny, but when you think about it, you know, you don't know everything.
That's right.
No man, no one person knows everything.
That's it.
And so, that the process of judgments in this world does not give a good life to everyone.
Hmm.
So, you know, it depends on your judgment, how you do things.
Okay.
How you view things.
Okay, how you do things and how you view things.
Yes.
And so that's part of the behavior, right?
Absolutely.
And then it has a lot to do who we're following, because he makes a clear distinction there,
mm-hmm.
that the evil, the wicked, mm-hmm. will be available, and they're subject to a different kind of penalty,
mm-hmm.
versus those who are following and believing God.
Amen.
And
he brings out the distinction too, that, you know, sometimes we think that the wicked are prospering, or the wicked are getting the good stuff,
right.
And then, you know, those who trust God are getting the bad end of the stick. But that's really not true.
That's right.
You know. So,
and his dad had that same perspective on life, because even in the Psalms we see how David was dealing with the wicked, and how mm-hmm. how he was wrestling with how they seemed to be prospering and mm-hmm. how they were flourishing, And God had to remind him to fret not thyself because mm-hmm. of evildoers, mm-hmm. neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon will be cut down.
Cut down.
But yes. it's not left up to us to go in and try to be God in a situation where we see wrong happening, but it's up to God to bring vindication. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the word
That's
says?
That's what the word says.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So we are in the eighth chapter. We're just wrapping that up of Ecclesiastes, and we've read those 16 verses, and we're getting ready to move into the ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes. I want to encourage you to go ahead and put your different prayer requests in, if there are any prayer requests, as we prepare to move through this next portion. And we should be done here if there are not a lot of questions, because there are only, 18 verses here in this ninth chapter. And one of the headings for the ninth chapter has to do with meeting your last enemy. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see that begin to come out here as Solomon begins to continue to do this evaluation, and he's analyzing, he's reflecting, he's looking back over everything that he has gone through, and how some of the things that God has blessed him with, he didn't use to the fullest. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about it, Lady Kim, even though Solomon asked for wisdom and God granted him even more than that, with everything else that came with that, God never took his grace away from him, nor did he remove him because of his mistakes and because of the things that he did that were not pleasing in God's sight. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so that same grace, that same what God did back then, he will do for us. And so that's not an excuse for us to go out and just do wrong,
right,
and expect grace to catch us like
Correct.
A net.
Yeah.
But we have to walk in the fullness of what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And if something does happen, then we have to ask God to forgive us and repent of it, and then move forward and being who God has called us to be.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So a couple of things coming out here in this ninth chapter, Lady Kim. He's going to continue to talk about, we're talking about meeting your last enemy, so he's going to continue to talk about that whole death process,
mm-hmm.
and how death is unavoidable. And then he's going to talk a little bit about some of the enjoyments of life. And he's going to even deal with some of the meals and some of the occasions that happens in life, and like marriage and work and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll talk about how life is unpredictable. You know, it would be much easier mm-hmm. if all of us knew what
we
was
knew
going
what
to happen.
Was going to happen. We
but
could
it
prepare.
Doesn't happen like that. It
yeah.
doesn't work like that.
Right.
And so our abilities are no guarantee of success. That's part of what he's going to talk about. And then our opportunities are no guarantees for success as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to make sure that we are in proper standing with God. And we have to trust God with the details of life and know that his promises are sure. If God
mm-hmm.
said he would do a thing, then it's going to do it, and it's going to come to pass. And
Amen.
So we have to believe that. And believe that God's going to do exactly what he said he would do.
Amen. Sister Gwen had a comment. She said when she would challenge something her mom said, she responded with, "I've forgotten more than you will ever learn."
That's good.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and look at, we're in the ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes. Let's read maybe the first I guess there are only 18 verses. Let's read the first 9 verses, and then let's come back and see if there's anything we need to pull out of those mm-hmm. first 9 verses before
okay.
we go to the next portion.
The ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so it is so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. Hmm. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further return. And even their name is forgotten.
Wow.
Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Also be clothed in white, and also anoint your heads with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, for this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yes.
He starts out talking about how that death is unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries to make sure that people understand and put it in proper perspective. And how important it is for us to enjoy what God has already given us,
mm-hmm.
and not just to wait. Because some people, they decide they're going to wait to live, but you have to live while you have a chance, because
Amen.
Tomorrow is not promised.
Tomorrow's not promised.
Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Yeah, most people, well, everybody that, well, I won't say everybody, because some people do sense when their time on earth is coming to an end, but most people, you know, go out the house thinking they're going to come home
right.
in the evening.
Right.
And some people don't make it back. So we never know when it's our time to meet the Lord. So that's why Solomon says that we need to live life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to enjoy life while we live.
Right, right, right. Okay, all right. So even as we're moving through this ninth chapter, Lady Kim just read the first eight verses. And if there are any other comments or questions or any prayer concerns that you might have, you can go ahead and put those in the chat as we prepare to read the latter verses of this ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
All right.
Verse number 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealthy, or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all.
Time and chance. What verse is that?
Amen. That was verse 11.
Okay.
Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come.
Mm-hmm.
As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in the city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man.
Mm.
So I said, wisdom is better than strength.
Mm-hmm.
But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of a wise man are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
And I think your translation, when you were reading, I believe that was verse number 11.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong. Mm-hmm. Your verse read just a little different, didn't mm-hmm. it? What did it say?
It said the same. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard that verse mm-hmm. before. And so those of you who have heard that and
it's
was wondering,
Hebrews, is it?
I think so. But
when it says the race is not given to the swift.
I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
to the strong, but he that endureth to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, somebody can look that up and let us know. But we do know that this is consistent in terms of what God is trying to get us to see as it relates to making sure we have proper priorities in place and that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible informs us that all of these other things shall be added unto us. So let's not put things ahead of God, but let's put God at the top and then align everything else in our lives so that it'll line up with what God requires of us. And as we said about that eighth chapter, how important it is for us to understand that obedience brings a reward. And if we but trust God and we cling to his word, we hold to his promises, we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word as well, then God will reward us because of our faithfulness to what he has required of us through his word.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did you find that?
Yes, it's Hebrews 12:1-2.
Okay. All right. And so that's consistent with what is being expressed here in this 11th verse of the 9th chapter. A couple of things I had, Lady Kim, as highlights here. Since everyone on earth, this is from my commentary, since everyone on earth has a work to do, a task uniquely suited to our lives, then work joyfully,
mm-hmm.
sincere, since our approval comes from God. Work energetically, even if the results seem uncertain. And the last thing is work wisely with the benefits of God's perspective. And so we have to make sure that we align ourselves with what God requires.
Mm-hmm.
Work not as unto man, but as mm-hmm. unto God.
Amen.
Do what God requires of us. Trust God. Trust mm-hmm. the timing of God.
Mm-hmm.
And not be lackadaisical in our efforts, but we have to work with the kind of energy and the kind of enthusiasm and the wisdom
mm-hmm.
that God requires of us in everything that we do.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Sister Loretta. Good to see you on tonight. And also, I think Brother Ryan was on earlier.
Right.
Good to see you as well and all of those who are on. We have pulled up our streaming side as well tonight. And Sister Jessica is on streaming as well as Sister Darlene. Good to see both of you as well on the streaming side. I think we have a prayer request here, Lady Kim, that has come through on that side. And so we're trying to just navigate through both of the platforms tonight and make sure that we keep locked into what people are saying on the streaming side. There are two different platforms that we have. We want to make sure that we touch base with the
Amen.
People who are on the other side.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
We finally figured that out.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. So
that's
we're going to
good.
Continue to work through this whole process.
Yes.
But what would we do in terms of trying to bring some clarity to this 9th chapter to help people really kind of get a sense of what God is saying to us here in the 9th chapter? Do you have that? Here you go.
I got it.
Okay.
I'm trying to find my notes. So, you know, Solomon believed in enjoying life
mm-hmm.
as God's gift. You know, when I thought about that earlier, each new day is a gift.
That's right.
When
That's
we
right.
open our eyes in the morning, we need to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing us or allowing me to see another day, because this day is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it before, how we don't know, you know, when it's our time.
That's right.
To be with the Lord, go and be with the Lord. But we know that each day is a gift. The world is finite, and sin has twisted life, making it something other than what God has intended.
Mm-hmm.
Society honors many things above wisdom, such as attractiveness, wealth, popularity, and success. Solomon believed that wisdom is the greatest asset, even though it often goes unrecognized. The same kind of events happen in everybody's lives, but people should still desire wisdom.
Wow. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And so he's really driving home that whole point that even after, here is the wisest man to ever live, he's expressing and trying to bring clarity to the fact that if we're going to have any measure of success, it's not based on the standards of this world, but it's based on our relationship with God, and that wisdom is a top priority, as he just expressed here, and how important it is for us, even if we don't have it. Don't try to take matters into your own hand, but seek the Lord, call upon him while he's not yet near. And God has promised that he would not only hear, but he'd answer. And so we know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so God says, if you lack wisdom, then just ask me, and I'll be more than glad to give it to you. And then you have the proper process in terms of making sure that what you are doing for God, you are aligning yourself in such a way that you are getting your marching orders from him and not from the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And we certainly have to make sure that we get our marching orders from him.
That's right.
So we need to really, on a daily basis, be close, get close to God.
That's right.
So we can hear his voice and know his word, his way, and his will.
That's part of like what we were talking about in our Leadership Institute on last Thursday in terms of dealing with those disciplines, mm-hmm. and how important it is for all of us to have spiritual disciplines. Don't just wait till Monday night or for Sunday to allow that to be all of the word that you digest.
Amen.
But you have to get into this word for yourself. You've got to study for yourself. You've got to have an active prayer life, so that when times do turn, or when times and things happen, you won't feel at a loss, and you won't have to go looking for God, because God's going to be with you through that whole process.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you
nor forsake
you. Amen. He said, I'll be with you always, even until the end. And so if we have the proper perspective as well as the proper priority in terms of how we're going to succeed, then it makes the process much better, but it doesn't eliminate the fact that we're going to have some difficulties, we're going to have some trials, we're going to have some tribulation. Mm-hmm. James says in that first chapter, but be of good cheer. Mm-hmm. No, that's not James, but James says count it all joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still the same. Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I've already overcome. But James says, count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith is what worketh patience.
Yes.
But let patience have a perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen.
All right. Did you have some more requests that came in, lady?
I did, yes.
Okay.
I've written them down. I don't have the streaming side. Pray for the comfort for those that are grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The tomorrow is definitely not promised. That was Sister Jessica. And that verse that we read earlier was the 11th verse of the 9th chapter, a very familiar verse that we often hear about the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. But man also does not know his time, like the fish taken in the cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them.
Mm.
So we have to be ready,
mm-hmm.
and we have to make sure that we're not trying to get ready, but we have to be ready, because no one knows the hour or the time.
Mm-hmm. And that last couple of sentences, you know, we have to be careful not to be caught in an evil snare.
That's right.
Everything that looks good isn't good for
That's
you.
That's right.
You know, and a lot of times, you know, we want to cut corners. We want to we're looking for the easy
way out.
Easy way out. And I'm trying to think of what they say, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Okay.
You know, the rainbow exists, but the pot of gold ain't there.
Okay.
So did we you see check that it out? Rainbow.
Did you check it out?
I've been trying to find I used to try to find the end of the rainbow. You can't find the end of the rainbow.
Can't.
No.
Has that been proven to be correct?
I don't know. I had to look that up. Okay. I'll Google that.
Yeah. Google that to make sure. Because somebody may have found it.
And it's already gone.
It's already gone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know how that saying goes.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
And so we're always chasing after the quick and easy when all we have to do is be like Solomon said and just enjoy life.
That's right.
As it goes along and not looking for these get rich quick schemes and, you know, cutting corners and, you know, being haters and all of that. Life is too short for that.
That's right. Time is filled with swift transition.
Yes.
So we have to be ready and have to be prepared. And then we can't wait. We have to do what we can while we can and do it to the glory and honor of God.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, we've covered the 8th and the 9th chapters. We want to try to get into this 10th chapter tonight, even though there are 20 verses there, and we'll pick that up on next week. And I think we've kind of made up for a little ground that we had lost early on, and we've caught up pretty much with where we need to be for this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Anything else that you need to share with us about upcoming events or any prayer requests that you may have received as relates to those who are in the church family, as well as the request that we have on the threads tonight.
All right. Well, I want to remind everyone about our upcoming peace conference that's going to happen. It's September the 17th, but registration is open now.
Okay.
There's a $5 registration fee, and the $5 is only to cover the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no charge for the conference and for the sessions. But $5 for the lunch. And so it's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. We have sessions for adults as well as for our youth. So come to the Peace Conference on September the 17th at 11 o'clock a.m. It's from 11 to 2.
Okay.
So register online, or you can register on paper at church and pay your $5. Some of the topics will be for the adults will be cybersecurity and finances in a post-COVID world, trying to get your finances back on track, or if you have your finances on track, how to keep them flowing in a positive way. And then cybersecurity, so many scams out there, people stealing your information, you know, how to avoid some of that. And then Attorney Daryl O'Neill will be in the midst talking about will preparation and power of attorney.
That's powerful.
And then he has agreed to come back and assist those who do not have a will with drawing up a will free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
So come out and hear what he has to say. And then our last session, which will be joint with our young people, will be on sex trafficking,
okay.
Which is, they say, I read an article the other day that Memphis is one of the top targeted areas for sex trafficking. So it's very important for everyone to be aware, not only our young people, you know. The adults need to be aware of what to look for in a person who is being trafficked. So, I don't know if I said that right. But anyway, you all know what I mean. And then for the youth, we have gang awareness topics, drug awareness, and also steps to peaceful conflict resolution. You know, these young people nowadays, the first thing they want to do to resolve conflict is pull out a gun and kill someone. But there are other ways to resolve conflict other than violence.
That's right.
And so
that's
right. We're going to begin to talk about that and examine that. So the Peace Conference is September the 17th, and we hope you'll all come out for that, adults and our young people. We want to lift up Sister Edna Dotson and the loss of her sister. We want to lift up Sister Alicia Davis. I got a word on tonight that she's in the hospital at Methodist University Hospital. And then a dear friend of ours, Mary Jean Cooper, she's in the hospital at Baptist East. We want to lift her up. And then Sister Loretta asked for prayers for her brothers, Kelsey, Eric, Gary, and Timothy. We want to lift them up in prayer. And Sister Jessica asked for prayer for all those who are grieving. And mm-hmm. we know grief is a heavy thing.
That's right.
And so we want to pray for God to give those who are grieving peace in the midst of what they're going through.
Okay. All right. And don't forget that we will have our Institute for Leadership yes. training that takes place this Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. Dr. Carolyn Butler is leading us through the discipleship module for that study. And we had a great time on last week and looking forward to continuing that process. And it's important that we understand whose and whose we are and understand the process that God has already set in place mm-hmm. and how we need to follow God's mandate for our lives. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about vision and mission and how critical that is for particularly our leaders to make sure that in order to understand corporate vision, in my opinion, I believe you have to have personal vision. And it really gives you an opportunity to be in sync with what God is yet saying in terms of corporate vision for your job, or even for the church, or even for your own household, and by all means for your own life, because we have to live this life, and we have to make sure we align it with what God will have for us to do, and so that we can do what he wants us to do and do it wholeheartedly as unto him and not as unto man.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Well, you open us up with prayer. Lady Kim, you want to close us out again? Or you want me to?
You close reversed us today.
It. You yes. reversed it yes. because I was trying to figure my way through this and navigate through this process. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to God in prayer as we close out tonight. And don't forget now, next week we'll be in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Father, we bless you and we honor you. And we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for being God and God alone, and we realize and we're confident in the fact that in you we live, move, and we have our being.
Yes, Lord.
And so, God, we pray now your blessing to be upon
tonight,
each of
God.
The requests that have been mentioned tonight.
Yes, Lord.
You already know the needs. You already know the concerns. And so, God, just show yourself strong on behalf of those who have listed various requests tonight. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. We know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much, and there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. So we thank you, God, that
you
are not only here, but you answer, and you're just a prayer away.
Yes.
And so now, God, we pray that even as we close out this time together tonight, that you will continue to watch over us and keep
watch
us in your care.
God.
And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that no weapon that's formed against us will be able to prosper.
Yes.
So we give you praise in advance.
We praise you tonight,
and we
God.
Thank you, God,
thank
for
you, God.
The gift that you've given us this day. And we look forward to what you have in store for us.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name
Jesus
we
name.
Pray. And those who love God said amen. Come
amen.
On, give God some thumbs up.
Amen.
I'm going to give God a praise there and just thank God for what he's doing and what he's already done
mm-hmm.
and what he will do in our lives. Morning by morning.
New mercies. Yes.
We see.
Yes, Lord.
All right. So we thank each of you for being on tonight. We look forward to next week. We're going to be in the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, and we hope that you get an opportunity to read that. Before next Tuesday.
Amen. Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining.
Be
See
blessed.
See you next week.